Well, it's a Ty Tuesday. That means the Hall of Famer Ty Law is with us this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Hey, before we get started for the next segment, could we hold up these shots of Corvus? This is Coco's birthday. We got to take a shot for Coco's birthday.
I don't know. Are we allowed to? Are we allowed?
Yeah, man. Hey, Corvus vodka.
I mean, I guess it's somebody's birthday.
Cheers to Coco. Cheers to Coco. Grilled pineapple. Your favorite one, right?
Love
grilled
you.
Pineapple.
Happy 33rd, Courtney.
Thank you.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Don't look
Happy
a day
21st.
Over 29.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is good.
All right.
Thank you. There
now,
we go.
Always goes down smooth.
Yep. Yeah.
Smooth.
Go get that.
So,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask you a question about Gerard Mayo, because you played for arguably the greatest to ever do it. And I...
Ain't no argument about that, but go ahead.
Watching Gerard Mayo on field, in game, he doesn't appear to do a lot of coaching. Mm-hmm. Never played professional football, so you did. On the defensive side of the football, is that weird to you that you don't see Mayo doing that?
I mean, because I played with Coach Belichick, the greatest, you expect all coaches to kind of handle it that way, especially being a defensive guy, and they're having most of their problems. They have problems all across the board, but especially on defense. So when Gerard doesn't come over to grab the tablet or whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. and jumping up in everybody's face and getting in their grill, that is a little bit different. But some people just, you know, delegate to their coordinators.
Okay, but he's not calling plays. So
right.
I mean, either side, what is he doing?
Probably everything. Well, I would ask Ty this then.
I'm like, what?
Maybe Belichick's not the right example. What was it like with Parcells? Did Parcells come over, and or did he delegate and kind of – because it seems like Gerard's delegated and staying out of the way and looking at the big
Parcells
picture.
Would delegate, and you can see him jumping on, you know, Bill, if Belichick, if
right.
you'll see him go to. He'll come over to the defense to get our minds right. So like I said, he was a master manipulator, so it might not have been through the X's and O's, but he's definitely going to come and coach his way,
right.
whether it's as, you know, jumping on your ass and say, you better get it together or I'm going to bench you. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
So that's a motivator. When I grew up, the best motivator was getting put on the bench.
Right.
You know what I mean? The fear of sitting down and not participating. So I think he has to do something other than just delegate and stay there and coach mm-hmm. and get the stuff back through his microphone. You have to be an active participant, you know, not only, you know, coaching the team, but, hey, if need be, going into that offensive huddle mm-hmm. on the sideline, doing those adjustments at halftime. If you need to get on your defense, you know what? Get off the sideline. Hey, offensive coordinator, if you're going to delegate, I need to go talk to the defense because they soft as hell.
I'm not being facetious. I'm asking this seriously. When they decide that they're going to go for two, is he making that decision?
I was questioning that, honestly, I don't know.
I would think he would be.
I would think he would be.
I would think he'd be saying,
Alex,
have your best two-point conversion play, because if we score, we're going for two.
No, because I don't believe that he made the decision to start.
What? He might be one of those coaches, like, I don't know, because I'm not there. He might be like, hey, guys, what you think? And then he get all these different opinions.
Right.
Go for two.
Yeah. Don't go for two.
Right. So Bill Belichick is going to be like, he going to ask one person.
Earn.
They actually have.
What should we do? And this is what we going to do. Or he going to sit there and say, this is what we do, and we got to deal with it.
I think that's the difference. They have a fan on the headsets, and they let the fan pick.
Yeah. That's
it's like Ken with his headsets. Whenever he makes a decision here, he calls Greg.
It's like the pick of the week.
I mean.
He stood by the decision yesterday when he talked about it. So, I mean, maybe it was him. But Wiggy was on this yesterday, where the would you rather be feared or loved, and that maybe Mayo's struggling with that.
Right.
That was, you put it perfectly, that maybe Mayo just likes to be that player's coach who's so loved.
Right. Who doesn't want to be loved?
I'd rather be feared, though. It's the great moment from A Bronx Tale where Calogero says to Sonny, would you rather be feared or loved? Mm-hmm. And fear, and I think, Ty, my point was, I don't think no coaches in today's era really coach that way. Like, how many guys are worried about being benched? He benched. Courtney brought this amazing point. Ramondre Stevenson fumbled like four times.
Right.
He literally sat for two plays.
You have to, in considering what Gerard Mayo has done so far, and I get it, Ty made a great point. He's a rookie, so he's going to make mistakes. But I guess I'll call it the discipline element,
mm-hmm.
is lacking.
That don't exist in today's
right.
culture.
When was the last disciplinarian to win a Super Bowl as a head coach?
It was probably Bill Belichick.
Right. So you have Andy Reid, you have Sean McVay, you have Bruce Arians. I mean, those are that's the modern player.
It's a different era.
I understand.
But you also got to look who they got leading the team as far as their quarterbacks and things like that. When you're talking about Andy Reid, you don't got to be a disciplinarian. You got Patrick Mahomes right there.
You don't have to be a disciplinarian.
You don't have to be that.
I'm talking
when Bruce Arians went down, Tom Brady.
When I was attacked as a senior citizen by a tight end, I would have done something discipline-wise, but he didn't. So
see, I'm talking about teams that don't have that. I'm talking like Detroit. You brought up the Rams. Like, I don't think Sean McVay's a disciplinarian. I don't think that even Dan Campbell's that way.
No, Dan Campbell, though, is a guy that you fear. You love him.
Yeah. Yes.
But
yes.
If you
he got respect.
If you go, what?
I think
don't side eye me.
I'm giving you the side
That's
eye.
Like sighing is the side eye.
I think Dan Campbell would rip you a new one.
I think the guys respect Dan Campbell. Do you really think that somebody like, you know, Amara St. Brown is worried about getting benched, or even Jameson Williams got suspended again. Like, I don't think they fear these coaches because they don't fear
Dan Campbell.
No, they might respect him, but they're not worried about that. That's what you want at the end of the day. Yeah, but Bill would literally, he told me after the Rams game at Gillette when we almost won that game, mm-hmm. he said, listen, if I don't get the backside cut off, regardless if the guy's in basically a five technique over the tackle, he was going to cut me. And I knew that to be true because I seen him do it before. Parcells cut a guy right then on the field because he didn't pass the conditioning test.
Do you think that's
that's what I'm saying. That was different because he will cut you right there. Man, he used to have a bus. Yeah. At the end, if you don't pass conditioning, just go get on the bus and leave. But he told me I'm going to be the first round draft pick in the history of the NFL to get cut.
Right.
Because I did something wrong, but that's what he told me.
Yeah. But he would do it.
Not like I was scared, you know. Right. But I mean, I'm a little bit different. Some people get afraid of that, but you have to. I don't think you should fear a coach, but you should respect him.
Right.
You know, fear him enough to understand that, you know what, he might do this. Some coaches don't have no respect or no sense of fear because you're not going to do anything to me.
Do you think that's why you're not going to cut me? Do you think that's why Brian Flores isn't a head coach anymore? Because he maybe has that mentality of instilling fear?
That's what Tua said.
Yeah, maybe he's too aggressive. Like in the sense of
Tua
like
aggressive.
Look where he came from.
Yeah,
look where he came from. So, you know, absolutely. So those and I think people now. You can look at it as a whole from the social media, everybody got a voice now. Mm-hmm. You know, things are not kept in-house. So people feel like I can say what's really going on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm telling all the locker room secrets. So I think it might be a fear from a coach's standpoint because you get the wrong player, he'll come up in there while you're thinking, be like this. With the damn phone, you know, taping everything, then put it out there. You know what I mean? So it's probably a fear on that end, too.
Pats Jets this weekend. Are you surprised by what Aaron Rodgers isn't so far this season?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm very surprised. I thought he would be playing a lot better, you know, because that is Aaron Rodgers. You know, he is one of the greatest of all time, you know, even though he's not playing like it right now. So I think one of the biggest shocks to me all season, mm-hmm. even more so than the Patriots just looking that bad, I did not expect Aaron Rodgers to be in this position right here.
See, he needs one of those Belichick type coaches that dig up all in that ass when he's not doing what he's doing. We heard Brady and Bill
digging into his nose,
bumping heads. But he needs a guy on Monday morning meeting. I know you're Aaron Rodgers, but guess what? I'm going to call you out and say, hey, listen, I can get a kid from Foxborough High School to throw that pass. And I think
that's why he doesn't have a job this year. I'm not saying it's the right decision, but mm-hmm. the Falcons went with a coddling player, young coach, because they view that that's the direction of the player today.
And I agree with that. And I think that you're Curtis.
But it doesn't mean it's right.
I just said that.
Or it's going to deliver results.
I didn't say that they're right. I said that that's what they perceive to be the players want and the way to get the most out of them today.
And it probably creates too much of like a mutiny because there aren't many coaches out there that can do what Bill does and have a good enough resume where guys will go, okay, we have to respect him to
the
that
fear
level.
Part. There's zero fear, and there's zero. There appears to be zero fear when it comes to what you're doing off the field as well. I mean, there are guys who are just running amok.
No, yeah. I think,
and not only with law enforcement, but with
social media,
and everything else. That to me is it's dysfunctional. It's dysfunctional.
But then you can think about, Aaron Rodgers too. He's going into a new team. He is so revered and so feared by even coaches that he knows more than them. And it's like you can't say anything because he has such great success in the league and all the MVP. So what are you really going to tell Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
We don't know. He may have that attitude, but coaches coming in is like, damn, I got to give him that type of respect. He's earned it.
Right.
Bill Belichick didn't care. Tom Brady, he jumped up in Tom Brady just like he was anybody else. You know what I mean? So, Tom, I think he embraced that. But some that's held on that level, on that pedestal, they probably can't take the criticism, can't take the comeback. And that's where the issues be. So you're paying this guy $50-60 million.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look, I can go straight to the owner just like you can.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's where the head start button, and you're not coachable. So I don't know if that's the case, but all I know is Aaron Rodgers, we've heard this in Green Bay. Now we're going up here in New York. Here, because the coach is getting fired. Like I said, I don't know Aaron Rodgers like that. No,
right.
I just know he's an all-time great. But maybe it's something to that, to where they feel that he can't be coached hard because of who he is.
And they are, by the way, they are favored over your New England Patriots this weekend, Curtis, the New York Jets.
For the first time, I think, ever, the Jets lost four straight. They're entering this game 7.5-point favorites.
Damn.
Has there ever been a team that lost four straight games
and then
entered their fifth game as more than a touchdown favorite?
Well, when you're playing against whether you want to call them the homecoming team or the can't-get-right team, that's what you expect.
Well, your team has lost six straight.
So. Yeah, but you're the get-right team. You're like, they're like, all right, who can we whip up on? All right, let's roll out the New England Patriots. The other thing I look at, too, that it's probably harder to do for Mayo and Coach now in this era of football. I think the players today I don't know what's the right word, whether it's entitlement or they feel like they've gotten there when they haven't gotten there. Because I know I would never do what Pop Douglas did. Like, as an undrafted player or a later round player, to be publicly criticizing or complaining about not getting the football and you haven't really done much in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, I was every day, every year that I played, I was scared because I wasn't that guy, so I knew my come up was under Parcells and Belichick and being with the Jets. And if you weren't doing it, they would ship your ass out of here. Forget about going to the media and going, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think I need more catches.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done anything in the NFL to warrant that type of juice.
But what Mayo needs, and what all coaches that want to be disciplinarians, they need their best player to buy into that program.
Right.
And that's what Bill and Brady had together. That's what, whether it was Reed and Mahomes, whoever. And Mayo needs to build that. And when you keep saying something and then 24 hours walking it back, it's tough to develop trust because people don't know where you stand.
But even after Tom won his first Super Bowl, you probably could talk better than I can on this. I don't think Tom would be going to the media and complaining about we're not.
But we're talking about today's athlete. That's a totally different era.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's what it is. Today's athlete, they'll complain, and you'll complain, and you've got three catches on the year, and this is your second year in the league. It's like,
you had to have some type of credibility and even Tom in those days, and he became more vocal later on, but when he first got the first Super Bowl, he wasn't Tom Brady. He wasn't the GOAT.
You guys ever play with a rookie who gets criticized by his head coach and then stands up there at the podium and says he has the best hands in the NFL?
Can't catch a cold. Right, exactly. Come on.
Who said that?
Jalen Polk. Talking about he's got, because Gerard said he was dealing with some, maybe it was mentally,
he was
in a funk.
He said, I'm not struggling mentally at all. I have the best
hands. He came and said that.
Yes.
He said it to the media.
Nationally.
Yeah, that he has the best hands in the NFL.
where's the receipts?
It's bad.
Huh? That's my point.
That's what I'm saying. Show me some receipts of that one.
But that's how I think today's, and that's why it has to be extremely difficult to coach, because that's how today's player is.
But I feel like that's the one part of the Mayo interview, Wiggy, I don't know if you agree, yesterday, where it was like, that was such a clear opportunity for Gerard to say, you got to stop with the stupid posts and saying you have the best
hands.
He doesn't
feel that way, though, Curtis. He said, he went on after to say it's their First Amendment right or whatever to be on social media.
Yeah, you know what?
Of course it is. Nobody's saying you should be thrown in jail.
It would be an interesting scenario to see if social media was really like that. What Bill, what Parcells, with some of the great coaches that we know coach a certain way, how they would have handled it. Because remember, you think about, like, one of my favorites is I would love to play for a guy like Mike Tomlin. You know what I mean? But when he had, you know, AB out there, you know, clowning, you know, you got to handle it a certain way because you never know. You know what I mean?
He's such a great coach.
Man, he is a hell of a coach. And guys love, you know,
but
playing
for
him.
You see him in-game coaching.
Yes.
You see him coaching.
Everyone that I know that played for Mike Tomlin loved playing for
Mike
Tomlin.
I was with him in Minnesota, and the guys loved him over there on defense. I just think that when you look at, and I think maybe some of these coaches take the approach, whether it's Mayo, whether it's Mike McDaniel down in Miami, the approach of like, I can't be harsh on these guys because they'll go into the tank mentally because of the whole.
I don't want those guys on my team.
Right, but that's everybody.
If you can't handle the mental part of it, if you can't handle me getting on you and telling you how you're not playing well for coaches like that, we don't need you in crunch time because we can't count on you.
But you know what I mean? That's everybody, because you know what the player says? Well, I'm dealing with stuff at home. Be easy on me, coach. I don't know if coach – that's why I said the coaches that we came up under, some of them, I don't know if they can coach in today's game because too many people would be criticizing them about, they're too harsh. This person's dealing with anxiety. This person's dealing with mental health. This person's dealing – so you have to be like, hey, I understand.
Yeah.
Where Parcells that's
right. And you can't say nothing now with, you know, the whole mental health thing, because this is a serious issue, you know, from the CTE, all the different things that, you know, it's kind of like you can't say nothing about it. Oh. But somebody got to say it. I will. Now, I've been on locker rooms and then teams where they dealing with something at home, dealing with something with your wife. You at work now. Your wife ain't loud in the building. Let's go play football. Let's win. This is like, really, when I'm having issues at home or family or anything like that, you're just tired. Guess what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to work. You know, even if it's coming here, I ain't got to deal with nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm coming here to work, so you got to be able to lock in.
At times, you had issues with the wife and the girlfriend.
No, that's only you, Greg. You.
You know, I ain't falling for that one. Yeah.
But if I did have a wife and a girlfriend, they of age.
Dennis, you're out. Get out of here.
It's all in love. It's all
fun. For months. Bastard.
That's how it is in a locker room.
That's how it is. And we even love taking as well as you give it.
Exactly. But again,
this should be like you're supposed to be able to, you know, leave that stuff at home, because like I was
say that to anybody now though.
No, you can't. It's
workplace
crazy.
Or anywhere else. Right. You can't say that.
They would have crucified. There were times when Parcells was like, "All right, get him out of my drill." The guy's on the ground rolling around in pain. Like, get him out of my drill. So
drag him out injured.
You would move on a different part of the field, 10 yards down, and you would sit there and go back it again. So whoever the trainers y'all deal with it, you know what I mean.
And there were times where it's like, all right, if you're hurt, you can walk off the field, like, so we don't have to burn a timeout. but you coaches like that, I don't, because of the way that we have to deal with the feelings and the mental health of players, I don't know if players are even built to play with guys like that.
Think about back then, Greg, if you came to work and said, hey, you make $1 million, you know, back then when things were looked at a little differently, and you was like, you know what, I'm going through anxiety, ain't gonna, most people are going to be like, man, we don't give a damn. You make $1 million, man. You better get back out on that field. We ain't going to give a damn about your anxiety. You think you got anxiety. What about us that can't pay? You know what I mean? It was a different mentality. But now it's like, I get it. You know, people go through stuff. You know, we all go through stuff. But when you at the workplace, you just got to change the mindset and say, hey, I get away from everything right now. I got to focus on this. You know what I mean? You got to – I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't even want to get into it too much because, hell – you get canceled over something that people don't understand. You know what I'm saying?
You're not going to be canceled for saying that you had a different approach to work-life balance. Like, I mean,
there's also different levels. Like, if people are going through something very serious, that's one thing. But, like, if guys aren't able to handle Monday morning highlights or the low lights, then that's part of your job, and you should be able to handle
that. I mean, Gronk was a perfect example. Gronk was like, all right, I can't take no more Bill calling me out. You know what I mean? So, and he's the greatest tight end ever played the game. I just think that for, like, Mayo and some of these coaches, it has to be really difficult to be able to walk that fine line. And the only thing I would say where I think Mayo went wrong, I think he tried to be too friendly with the guys and allowed them too much.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of leading to some of the things.
All right, Ty Law's here. You staying until the end of the show?
Yeah, I'm here with y'all guys.
All right, Ty Law's here. It's a Ty Tuesday. Here's Courtney with what is trending this hour.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It is Banner Night. Our champs kick off the regular season tonight, welcoming the New York Knicks to town. The Banner 18 ceremony will take place at 7 p.m. with tips scheduled for 7:30. Only guy on the injury report to start the season is Kristaps Porzingis, who's rehabbing from his surgery. The Bruins also in action tonight, taking on the Predators in Nashville. Puck drop is at 8:45. The Ravens took down the Bucks 41-31, and the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15 in Monday Night Football. And it is bad news for Brandon Ayuk. He has been diagnosed with a torn ACL, MCL. He'll be out for the rest of the season. And an MRI has confirmed that Deshaun Watson has ruptured his Achilles. Some breaking news this morning from Tom Pelissero. The Browns are signing Bailey Zappe off of the Chiefs practice squad.
Oh, get that jersey out, Courtney.
Hell yeah. Very
excited
for Zapp.
Didn't he play against the Browns last year? He played pretty well, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what's her face? Did she ever unblock you?
Zappe is a Chief.
Sophie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Browns
yes,
is on
she
now.
Has unblocked. Oh, I am going to ride the Bailey Zappe train, and I'm going to ride it hard. I'm very happy for my guy.
What's that tell you? That the Browns would rather go with Zappe than Mac Jones?
Great point.
Wow,
Jermaine Wiggins.
Dunking with Zappe again.
Zappe made me happy.
Excellent. Wiggy. Mac Jones, he would back up
Jackson.
For Jacksonville.
Yep.
I bet he was happy, huh?
Well, he's on a roster. They'd have to trade for him.
I know, but I'm saying he's probably happy that, you know, Jacksonville went over there and won. And, you know, he's probably feeling good.
Yeah. You know? Probably don't nobody know. I mean, really, I couldn't even point him out in the game.
That is what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Happy birthday, Courtney.
Thank you.
And the line of the century to Ty Law. 62 degrees and sunny afternoon, high of 71.
Mac Jones did do more on-field coaching on Sunday than Gerard Mayo did, though. I won't tell you that much. We'll be right back. Jones and Keefe coming up at 10 on Banner 18 Day in the city of Boston and around New England. And the Celtics begin their quest for Banner 19 this evening, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Ty Law is here, and it's a Ty Tuesday. Time now for the most entertaining play of the game last week, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment Marlboro. Anybody got a suggestion?
The throw to Osborne.
Yep.
I was going to say Keyshawn Booty again down sideline was pretty good.
All right.
You brought up the rollout, the throwback to Hunter Henry where he just showed. So, I mean, there was a couple throws in there.
That Osborne touchdown was just a dime. Laid it right over the linebacker in front of the safety.
Yeah, the one where he celebrated by asking anybody in the NFL to call him and get him out of here. Yes, that was
he was shocked he was even playing.
Scary Hampshire. It was the coin toss. Fair.
I don't know. 10-0 lead was kind of nice, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And everything fell apart.
But, Greg, that's the point that we're making. Here's a guy in Osborne who hasn't done anything, and yet there's all types of, like, text messages between him and his agent on how it's like around here that we all get to see and read and, like, the complaining element. I feel like you have to get to a certain level of production where before you can start complaining publicly, like you need some street cred or you need need that resume.
Ty said it perfectly. Where are the receipts?
Yeah.
Right.
Like if you're Jalen Polk or Pop Douglas or whoever, like where are you?
I ain't never heard of them.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just being, you know, honest, you know,
but that's because there's no, and we've talked about this before. There's no one in the locker room to grab them and say, man, shut your mouth. What you doing over here?
Like, yeah, you do. Mayo. He was a number 10 overall pick, head coach. You got, and I think he just
but
needs
they need
to
one
use
of their
it
pairs.
More. He needs to use who he is more, not just the head coach. But, look, you need to connect with those guys. I'm a player, too. I was a 10th pick
But
overall.
He's sending his captains in to talk to the team after, you know, the Pepper situation and after the Barmore situation. Or was it, Barmore situation.
But Ty, Wiggy said, I think it was last week, those guys don't, most of them don't even know who Mayo is, like they or know what he was.
You need their pairs.
You know what? You need a Willie Mack up in there.
That's my point.
You need a Willie Mack up in there.
You need a Lawyer Malloy. You need a
exactly.
Brian Cox.
Yeah, exactly.
That will somebody will grab him and say, shut the F up. Yeah. Go out there and catch the damn ball before you start talking about how you got the best hit. And the guy looking at the person knowing like, oh, damn.
No, they're not going to do that. They're going to go, I'm going to HR.
Because if Willie did it.
That's a horrible Ken impersonation.
If Willie Mack did it, like, you knew how much work Willie was putting in. You knew what he was, how productive he was on the field. So when he's yelling at you, you're like, damn.
Even like Cox, you're right. And it's also that little thing, like, he just might swing on me.
Right.
So it's that aspect too. It ain't just because how hard he work and who he is. We had guys in there that just might swing on your ass
but
sit there and don't understand and don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But there's nobody like that on any team in the NFL anymore.
Oh, no, there's guys like that on teams in the NFL.
Who?
Khalil Mack on the Chargers would probably switch.
Oh, yeah, they've really been gangbusters. I mean,
that defense has been really good all
year. They haven't won anything. They lost the playoff game where they were up by 30
points. Patrolling the locker room.
Right.
That was a part of our success because coaches rarely came into the locker room.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's your safe haven.
Like,
but that's
that like,
whatever you got to say, hey, say it. We handle it here, you know, as men, as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And guess what?
Right.
We always had – and guess what? If Willie's going to say something, Lori was going to say something, he had 3-4 other guys standing right there behind him.
I bet on the Niners it's Trent Williams.
But I would just say
Fred
this.
Warner.
I would say this about the Patriots. Willie McGinnis was drafted in what, 95?
No, that was me. He was 94.
So you and Willie were both 94, 95.
Yeah.
And I love you. Pete Carroll was there 3 years and got fired.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the locker room culture didn't really get going until you started winning. Or maybe it was always there.
I got drafted by Parcells.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but Pete Carroll came in after Parcells, was there for 3 years.
Right.
And he lost his job.
No, but I was there in 2000, and we weren't winning, and it was still, you felt that, like, in the culture, like, like this dude might literally swing on me if I say something slick back to him, if he's telling me, hey, man, you know, get here early, get in there on time, you feel that certain way. So I think there are, like, I don't know who that guy is here, but I would say Trent Williams. I would say Miles Garrett.
Kurt, that – you know, we're rookies, second year. We establishing ourselves. You don't come in as a rookie and a second year guy in no locker room and think you're going to be this or you think you're going to be that. So
I guess my question is how did it evolve into that point? What was the catalyst for Willie to take over the room?
I think it was collective from everybody just being together long as we have to, you know, the success being that we did go to the Super Bowl. We ended up losing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
so we had an inkling of winning, okay, what it takes. But we had some things like everybody, Bruce Armstrong, as great a player as he was old school in a way to where he thought one thing. He didn't really like the young guys. We really didn't fit in with
like
who he came with.
A respect thing, too. Like, Wiggy always talks about how he was scared of the older guys, of these guys that he had watched and really appreciated their play. Who is there on the Patriots right now that guys, rookies, are coming in and then want to impress the older guys? There's nobody.
There's nobody there. There's always somebody after we start having championships. Somebody was always there. There's always a couple guys there. This is how we do it. When free agents came in, this is how we do it. We don't give a damn where you come from. You're here now. This is how we do it in this locker room. But Vince Wilfork told me as we were leaving, he was one of the last guys there. He said, it's changed now. He said, even Belichick changed. It's not as hard no more. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now when the GOAT is gone and Tom's gone, it's really, who do we really look up to around here? Now you have the great ones like Matthew Slater. Matthew was an all-time great.
But
Patriot great, but he's not that guy.
He's not that guy. Coaching staff, but he's not that guy.
Yeah, he's not. He's like, you know, and neither was Devin. Devin's not going to be that type of guy. And I think, like, for me, it was all about, I wanted to earn the respect of the veterans. It was a badge of honor to kind of go through some of those things where it's carry pads and like to prove yourself like I can be part of this team and you can trust in me. Even like with Brian Cox, Brian Cox didn't play a ton that Super Bowl year, but his presence was felt because you knew who Brian Cox was. And like Ty said,
attitude that he brought.
He might swing on you.
Yep.
Polk wouldn't be posting a peace sign after a loss like that in that locker room.
You know, the one who has probably more credibility on that coaching staff, you're talking about Troy Brown, who's not about to get confrontational, and Matthew Slater. Like I said, he is like the epitome of who you would, you know, want your daughter to marry, something like that. You know, he you do something like, Matthew going to pray for you instead of whipping your ass. You know what I mean? We whip your ass. Matthew pray for you. Man, son, you know. So I just think that they need somebody in there that's nasty, somebody that's a dog that don't care about your feelings. Right. And I think people are too sensitive right now in locker rooms because of, you know, the perception of what it is as mental health and stability. And now you can call off, you know, when we couldn't, if you were sick, you had COVID back then. You gonna wear a mask and bring your ass in this training room. You know what I mean? That's where you're going to sit at. You might not be going to the meetings, but you can't be at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? You sick, you come to work.
Yeah.
And the guys today are like, who are you to tell me what I'm the first round pick like that. There were a few guys like that, but it wasn't prevalent to where these guys are entitled. Like, and that's the difference. And then Ty's right. You would have, I remember when I was in Minnesota, and the thing that we looked at is like, all right, we're going to shave your hair as a rookie. If you got dreads, you're going to lose an eyebrow. If you don't want your hair cut, and that's what we going to do. And we had Brock Lesnar, and he was like, you ain't doing this to me. And Brock Lesnar's a big dude. But when you got 6 or 7 offensive linemen cornering him in a hallway, gonna do something to you, no matter. Like, and that's what you were saying. Like, you have all these guys that are going to Polk and saying, "Man, keep your mouth shut."
Right? Yeah. Hey, when we had to do the whole shaved head thing, I jumped out the window. I was like, you know, at that time, I wasn't doing no bald head. I jumped out the window. But then I started seeing Willie, Slade, Bruce. They taking all my stuff out in my room and all that stuff. Man, I came. I said,
so
you went
back and you did it.
Man, now I had to go back and do it. And, you know, so I mean, I went back. I said, you ain't going clean ball. So I said, Larry Wiggum. I said, Wig, you doing mine, man. Ain't touching me with this and that. So I had my own clippers and all that. But now, you said Brock Lesnar, Curtis Martin. He was the only one that didn't get his head shaved. And I was sitting there like, man. So now y'all got to know Curtis before he was Curtis. Like, Curtis back then, you didn't want to mess with him. Yeah. Right? But so anyway, he didn't want to get it. Bruce Armstrong came in with his taser. Oh, you going to do this? So now we said, we going to stand.
He had a taser?
Yeah, he had a taser there. Like, he gonna
holy hell.
You know what I mean? So he coming in. He going to get his.
That's veteran discipline right there.
Curtis took his damn shirt off. He was sitting there like this. He said, if Parcells come here and tell me I got to do that, I'm going to do it. He's sitting there just reading his Bible.
Yeah.
And he was all about the job. He read his Bible. He said, don't tell me to do this. He said, I'm not shaving my head. And they went through so long. And when he brought out that Bible, I'm like, why not bring out the Bible? I should have brought out the Bible, too. You know, he didn't get it. So he said, everybody jumping around head. Curtis had a head full of hair. Like, he's not doing it. The old Curtis is about to come out and. You ain't want to see that guy. He's such a nice, humble guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The old Curtis? No.
Yeah. All right, Ty. Well, great to see you, bud.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me always.
We will talk to you next week.
Yeah.
And you're out and about? Yeah, I'm assuming this week?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be out and about this week. We're doing, you know, actually going to be a big night tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, big night, you know, big night live. We're going to be doing something real cool there tomorrow night. Then I'm going to be heading to Pittsburgh in L.A. Be out for a week. So, I'll be doing a show from L.A. next week, early in the morning, running from the Coyotes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So then I'll be back. So, you know, we
hit me up tomorrow night. Maybe I'll pull up the Big Night Live. That's right downstairs for me.
Absolutely, man. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, hit me up. I'll pull up.
Hey, Corvus being poured all night. It's Corvus event. Let's do it.
If you'd like to take in a good faux roaring fireplace before Big Night, go to Wiggy's place.
Yeah, you're always welcome to come to the crib. I'm right upstairs, so I'll pull up. What time?
8 to 10.
All right, yeah, definitely. Just text me.
Okay, all right, we'll do.
He'll blow some faux wood smoke out the window.
Not wrong with it.
Light some fake candles.
Hey, Courtney's just like me. We both got fake fireplaces.
Yeah, very different.
I know you live right by there?
Yeah, I live right upstairs. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, right upstairs.
All right, Ty Law, you're the best. We will be right back. Before we go, another chance for you to bring your hero to lunch with a hero, which we do on the Friday of Veterans Day weekend this year. It is on November 8th, and we will be in the morning at the American Heritage Museum, which is half in Hudson and half in my beloved continent of birth, Stowe. And so you can join us there with your hero who served this country, and then join us for lunch at the 110 Grill afterwards if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, 617-931-0937. And during the morning show, which is open to all at the American Heritage Museum, we will have a 100th birthday celebration for Joe Landry, who is a World War II veteran that we met at last year's Lunch with a Hero. And I got some pictures sent to me of Joe's big party last week. I think it was over the weekend, actually. And he is an unbelievable guy. Spent a lot of time talking to him last year in Malden at that Lunch with a Hero. And he's an extraordinary man. So cannot wait for you all to meet him on Friday, November 8th, when we do our show before Lunch with a Hero. So you can also just go online, go to the WEEI website, WEEI.com, go to the contest page, and tell us who your hero is, and bring her or him to our broadcast and then to Lunch with a Hero, and we can celebrate their service to this country. So, all right. Well,
God bless America.
Yeah. Learned a lot this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that it's virtually impossible to discipline any player in the NFL in any way, shape, or form.
It's hard nowadays, man.
And the role of the coach is really just to be your best friend.
Yeah. It almost seems that way.
That's basically what I learned.
And that's the crazy part, but it's just the, you know, part of it is the new element of in all works of kind of walks of life, even regular jobs. That's why I saw this on social media, and the dude was spot on. Like, you cannot be friends with your boss. Mm. Like, it's too hard to do because at some
we're friends with ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
Greg.
But I don't really view Greg as
boss. I'm not.
Dump that.
I'm not the boss.
Because it's like, here's why, real quick. Because you know what we don't have to do with Greg? What? We don't have to sit down and figure out our contracts.
Right.
Well, he's
you know what I mean? Or maybe, you know.
Someone does.
No.
Someone's instructed.
Yeah. But that becomes the issue.
I have no say in that.
Ty's pay got cut after that joke. Greg, I have a question for everybody to ponder because I don't want someone to take it. Going forward, don't need an answer now. In the division, other than the Bills, who would you rather be going forward than the Patriots? Because if I'm being asked that, I am the Patriots over the Jets and the Dolphins going forward.
I hold myself to the standard of greatness.
Right. Booger Eater's out.
Dolphins are closer with talent if Tua stays healthy.
That's like saying if I grow hair.
Healthy if Tua
I would
stays
say
healthy.
The Jets.
You
no
would?
Way.
Because the Jets, they got Sauce Gardner. He's one of the best corners in the league.
You have Christian Gonzalez.
You got Garrett Wilson.
But Aaron Rodgers.
Who wants out?
Aaron Rodgers may be washed.
No, but we're saying without Aaron, because guess what I can do if I'm the Jets? I can easily draft a quarterback.
But quarterbacks don't play defense.
Before we leave, Shime was completely wrong saying that Pat McAfee didn't ask Bill that question about Mayo calling soft.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, he didn't want to hear it.
Go ahead.
You didn't listen to the full question. Yes, he literally ends the question by bringing it up.
He did ask him about that, Sean. That was a little
27 seconds into the
here's the cut.
Question.
To have optimism because Drake May is showing promise for the future, or what are your thoughts on the Patriots right now?
Oh,
no.
They edited like 25 seconds out.
So what is it, 60 minutes? He went on to ask him about the team being soft. Like, Shime.
Oh,
can we get a transcript?
I had a question about Drake May. That's all I had.
It starts with Drake May, goes into the soft.
Yeah, it goes into the soft. It goes into the soft.
Happy birthday,
Courtney. I didn't take anything out after that, though.
You are a Somebody sent that to you already edited then.
Wiggy, I'm just telling you what the cut is.
Because if you go to the one actually on the
he
text
asked
message.
Him about Mayo calling the team soft. Yeah. That's how the question ended with
Bingo.
Bill. That's why Bill answered.
Yeah. So.
But I will agree that Bill was overly effusive in his attempt to answer the question. Mm-hmm.
And Bill actually joined Brady and Jim Gray and had the same style of comments last night on the Sirius XM whatever show.
Yeah.
But Curtis, you might be right, though. It might be the Patriots, as you kind of start to think about it.
I mean, if Drake May is what we think he is, then at least you got a long four-year runway of a guy in a rookie deal.
Yeah, I would probably rock with you. Future, yeah, it is very bright.
Can't be darker.
Several of us may not live to get there, but it's bright. Oh. This is Adam from Britain. Adam?
How you guys doing?
What's up, Adam?
I just wanted to say happy birthday to Courtney, and we haven't heard anything about her weekend with Taylor Swift, so I'm just we're all dying for the details.
We got a brief mention of it, but it seems like there's secret details. That
no secret details. We were actually seated next to Gracie Abrams, which was like the coolest part of the entire thing.
Who's that?
She's the opening act for Taylor, but we were in the family section, so we were seated next to her family, and she was next to us. It was very cool.
Very nice.
It was a 10 out of 10 experience.
Did you see Travis there?
No, Travis had a game.
Oh, he had a game.
The next day.
A little bit.
What does that stop them?
Yeah, right. Wasn't he somewhere? Yeah, he was like all over the place. Wasn't he somewhere else chilling with her?
No.
Like a week ago?
No.
Yeah, he was.
All right, we are back tomorrow morning. Go Celtics.
Go Seas.
Oh, good luck, guys. Hope
and
you
Bruins.
Get in.
Yeah.
Boston parlay for you tonight. Bruins Celtics 2-1. There you go. You're welcome.
All right.
Lock.
Thank you.
Sure, lock it in. Screw it. Why not?
All right. Yes.
Let's ride with the Bruins and the Celtics tonight. Money line.
Tomorrow, for the first time this Celtics season, Mego on the show at 9.
Yes.
She is following the team closely over there every day. And she will have some insight on the Celtics as they begin the quest for banner number 19. That is on tomorrow's show.
And I don't even think, like, with this Celtics team, I don't think there's, like, any real criticism unless they happen to start off, like, 1-15.
Yeah, I don't think.
Because it's really about, like, get to the playoffs, be healthy, and go from there.
All right, Jones and Kiefer next. Thank you for your patronage.